Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by your faithful prayers and contributions.
The grace of God extends mercy. It extends gratitude. It extends love. It extends patience. It extends you to know when to say something and when to shut your mouth.
This week's lesson is titled, By God's Grace. And Dr. Williams teaches that when we run into problems in life, and we will, we are to lean on His amazing grace.
Grace is sufficient. Whatever bothers you, lean on God's grace and watch Him work it out.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worshiping experience begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible, open it with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 down through 5. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to be ministered to by our music department, and immediately following their serenades, the next speaking voice that you will hear will be that of Dr. Williams with this week's message.
I stand to introduce a young man who hails from Brandywine, Maryland. The youngest of four children, attended the most notable Ellington School of the Arts during high school, a music major at Howard University, a past music teacher at various high schools in the Maryland area, humble beginnings as a songwriter for the Gospel Music Workshop of America, and a teacher and instructor for the Gospel Heritage International Worship Summit. He is a faithful member of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, Maryland, under the leadership of Pastor John J. Jenkins, Sr. He has served there for over 15 years as the minister of music, with over 31 years in the music ministry. He is one of the leading voices in urban praise and worship music today. He is a Dove-nominated and Stella Award-winning artist. He has recorded 6 praise and worship albums and has shared his gifts of song at the White House for none other than President Barack and First Lady Michelle Obama. He has published his first book entitled Seed of David and is currently working on his second publication. But there are 3 undeniable qualities about him. He is sincere about his call, friendly with everyone he encounters, and passionate in worship. He is a minister of the gospel and has a mighty word from the Lord. A man after God's own heart who desires that God would be pleased with his sacrifice of praise. St. Paul, let us stand and let us receive and welcome our 2017 music workshop conductor, clinician, minister Stephen Hurd.
So because my ministry gift is teaching, let me teach you a moment. Hebrews 13 and 15 says that the sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God in Christ Jesus. Now, it's important for us to understand that praise is not just an applause. Praise is filling our mouth with something that appreciates and releasing it into the atmosphere. Can did you hear me? So it's not just clapping your hands. When you just clap your hands, that's an incomplete praise. You've got to direct your praise to the throne of God, or it can be intercepted by demons and imps that are in this sanctuary. How many of y'all know the devil does come to church sometimes? So I need us to practice really quick what praise sounds like. I need you to put a praise in your hands and a praise in your lips and fill this sanctuary with sound. Come on, let heaven hear you. Come on, let heaven hear you. Come on, let heaven hear you. Sounds real good, doesn't it? Come on, fill this place with praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of the sanctuary love Jesus and not ashamed? Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to do a new worship project later on this year, and first part of next year. It's a song one of my friends wrote for me, and it just simply says, I love you, Jesus, deep down in my heart. Anybody love him that way? Come on, let's go. Come on, clap your hands.
Praise the heaven, you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love him and I'm not ashamed. I love him because he's been so good to me. I love him because his name is faithful. I love him because he's a strong power. I love him because he's a righteous God and he's a sovereign Savior. Anybody love Jesus in this place? Anybody love Jesus in this place? Anybody love Jesus in this place? Come on, give him a praise. Come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When you have the time, read the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul, rather Saul, was doing things according to how he was trained. Saul was trained to protect the law. He was trained to let nothing get in the way of the Old Testament covenant. Saul was trained. But now some of you all are trained, and you allow your training to get between you and the God who saved you. Nothing, I don't care what it is, nothing should be allowed to interfere with God. Now, hear me today, and if you don't hear anything else, whatever you put before God, slowly he or she or they or it would come to be your God. Amen. Amen. When my late mother died, she said to me before she died, she said, "When I die, I have a clock, and I want you to take it and keep it." She says that the reason I want you to keep it, it was the thing that my mother loved. And if I give it to you, you would keep it. Now don't break in my house because you won't find it. But I'll still have the clock for her. And it has been given direction who to give it to when I'm gone. Now you say, but why are you hanging on to the clock? Because I promised her and I don't like liars. I'm not going to lie to her. The clock is not the thing that excites me, but what excited me that she trusted me with it. She had other siblings she could have trusted. During that time, she had some relatives, some of her own siblings. God, I want to repeat this. Saul had went too far. Saul decided he tried to do it legal. I give him credit for that. Saul went, my friends, to the king and got a passport, I call it, a letters, to give him permission to go from Jerusalem to Damascus. And he strutted on down there. And he went down there intentionally. Now, this is what the Bible says. To arrest women, men, and children and take them back to jail in Jerusalem. Now, I often laugh about people sometimes. You can have all the plans you want to have. But if they don't correspond with God, it won't do you no good. And the thing about God, your plans won't overrule God. I just told a man, he said, "Well, Pastor, I almost got my master's." I said, "Wonderful." I said to him, "Look at grace." He said, "What do you mean, look at grace?" I said, "If it had not been for grace, you wouldn't have got no master's." And I said, "Don't get excited. You have it, you might not be able to use it." Listen careful. Whatever is in your life, God knows what the end's going to be. He knows. And so why try to buck God, is the word I use, when you can just worship him, serve him. I'm yesterday afternoon, I'm praying to God. Yesterday even, I prayed with him Friday morning and evening. I prayed with him Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, and Monday. Praying to God, first of all, thanking him for what he has already done. Second, blessing him because he has blessed me. Thirdly, praying for my family and this church, which is my larger family. Asking God, something you, many of y'all don't, you, many of you Baptists don't believe in, asking God, show up with the power of the Holy Spirit, that every now and then somebody can be healed. You don't believe in healing. I was healed twice, and you'll never get me to deny he is a healer. You'll never get me to deny that. Maybe he don't. Maybe he won't heal me, but he's a healer. Then I'll pray for him, not only if he'll heal you physically, but he'll heal you mentally. Then number two, that he'll heal your financial problems. Number three, he'll heal your anger before you get a divorce. If you are in God, I listen carefully, you, those of you watching me on television and listen to me on radio, if you are really, both of you all are in God, it will not be no divorce. Isn't that right, Francis? You say, but we have some differences. You have differences in the grocery store. You have differences at the cleaner. You have differences on the freeway and the highway. And you have some differences with yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't stand in front of the mirror and comb your hair 10 minutes. You just brush it back and go. There's going to always be some differences, but you met God and intermingled with him so he can help control your differences.
All right.
Amen. Amen. We was in, I was in Atlanta 5 or 6 weeks ago, and the waitress was not nice. And I said to my nephew, he said, Uncle Ethan, I said, no, be quiet. He well-educated young man, and I understand he was going to defend his uncle. I said, don't say nothing. I said, don't ever respond to ignorance. I said, now I can get her fired right today. You don't mistreat your customer and they're the one paying for you. And then the manager come right behind and the manager says, everything going well. All I had to say, I'm not eating my food because the waitress was too cold, too nasty. But I didn't say that. You see, when you become saved, help me Holy Ghost. When you really become saved, and you know the reason you got saved because it was the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
Then the grace of God extends mercy.
Yes, it does.
It extends gratitude.
Yes.
It extends love.
Yes.
It extends patience.
Yes.
It extends you to know when to say something and when to shut your mouth.
Right. Amen.
I'm talking about grace.
Yes, sir.
Now you all are sitting up here this morning. All you all look well and act well. Choir sung well, but I want you to know this. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't be in here. His grace leads us on. So Paul, on his way, and I can hear him now. He sounds like one of the Baptist old people years ago when they thought they owned the church. He's going to get God's people. Jesus had started a movement. It was called The Way. Now, you see, I heard the Creek Nation said Friday, and I really was touched by that. He said that many of us are afraid to do something new. They're afraid to do something new for the Lord, but not for themselves. Now, let me prove what I'm saying. If I saw yesterday evening, I saw a lady not too from where I live. It was cool yesterday afternoon. She had on some shorts. Short shorts. Short. And the reason you're wearing short shorts, because other folks are wearing them. You do what you want to do. If a new hairstyle comes today, people will gravitate to it. If a new dress code comes, they'll gravitate to it. I told you now, they got those men's coats. You got one, Francis? It's just below your belt. Somebody say, I don't want that. I'm too tall. If God had wanted me to show it all, he wouldn't even made no clothes. And another thing, showing it all would keep the one you need from getting next to you. I don't want to see it all. And you say, I just thought I had. So what God has done for us, when Paul got so far, God stopped him. And when God stopped him, God asked him, why is you persecuting me? And here is Saul saying, who are you? That's what happened in church. Many people in church, I don't care what you tell me, all over this country, they are church addicted, but they are Christ rejected.
All right. Preach the truth. Say that again.
Amen. I might not like Francis' way, but Francis is not big enough, powerful enough to make me hate him.
All right.
I got to work with the God that's going to serve me.
Preach the truth.
Amen. And if I want God to help me, I have to control me. And you have controlling power if you spend time with God. And so here he goes. Paul, God said to him, you go down and see, there's a gentleman. What was his name? What is his name? This is what I said to young adults. And the young adults, I want you to hear me today. Here is a man had 5 or 6 different languages. And yet God sent him for somebody to tell him what to do. You get it out of your mind that you don't want nobody to tell you. If you don't want nobody to tell you nothing, you need to go to heaven now. Because if you live in America, somebody is going to tell you something. And so here Saul, he goes, and Ananias said, well, I don't want to deal with him. I heard some bad things about him. God said, that's right. But he's now on my side.
Right. Amen.
And once God gets you on his side, you change. And you quit telling people, this is just the way I am. If that's the way you are, what did your salvation do for you?
Right. Amen.
That's the Bible. And so God's grace is the thing that keeps us moving. Friends, his love, kindness, mercy to us should produce, I said earlier, gratitude. How many people that you know you can name today that if you have had your way, you would not get near them? Well, God got near you. And since he did, he wants you to get near somebody else. Amen. I've been all over this country and out of this country. I've seen everything you can name, all kinds of bad, dirty, low-down attitudes. It never changed me from being who I represented. Amen. When I was in Liberia, I told you about some guys tried to kidnap my wife. That's the only time I arrested my religion. I try to put it that way and you'll catch it. I had to use some tools, and another person from Los Angeles was with me. And in the meantime, while I'm using the tools, I'm asking for help. Lord, help me. You know, I can't do nothing. I don't know anything about this place. But I knew enough to protect them. And one of the ladies from Los Angeles said to me, Pastor, you really got upset. I said, no, I didn't get upset. I protected my goods. If you can't protect your goods, you don't need them. Amen. But at the same time, grace was with me. One of the policemen came and said, what's the problem? Now, it's amazing he didn't speak English until he wanted to. He said, what's the problem? And I said, these two guys trying to drag my wife out. He said, I got it. And I said to myself, and I'm with you. The grace of God is your supplier.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
God supplies your need. I know you think you work every day and you get a salary. That's not true. If you didn't work anymore in your life and you're saved, God will take care of you until your time is up because of his grace. Now let's move in here. God's grace.
Thank you.
It was something performed and produced by the grace on that road that as a result of Saul becoming Paul, desired a great change. A change. Brendan, I'm saying something. A change has come over me. That's good, but it needs to come in us. Because a lot of stuff has come over us, but it didn't stop. But if it comes in us, it has someone at work. Now, let me say something to hurt some of y'all's theology. Everything happens to you comes from the inside. You said, no, I don't believe. I don't care what you believe. Read the Bible. If it's not inside, it can't come outside. Amen. I just want to prove it. Now, let's say Charles standing in that aisle and Dale, stand with him, will you please? Now, just stand right there. Now, if you all the wise are here, I'm not talking to you all. Charles standing here looks dignified, like he's like he got it going on. Dale standing here like a sage gentleman. But I'll tell you something. They are watching and looking. And every now and then, things get their attention.
That's right.
But because it happens to them, they hold it inside.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
But it's inside.
Yeah.
And if the devil was in control, it'll come out of them. Thank you all very much.
That's right.
It's in you. So you say, but I don't like to go to church. It's not in you. I don't like to worship. It's not in you. I don't like to sing. I understand. It's not you can't sing. It's just not in you. Well, I don't like to pray in the public. That's normal because it's not in you. If it's in you, you're praying the White House, and I did it. So you've got to let what's in you come out of you. Amen. I thank God today for his grace. I know I won't finish, but his grace, friends, his grace. You see, I've discovered that what you have been touched by is the grace of God. You can no longer do what you want to do when you are touched by the grace of God. Many people have taken grace for granted because they believe now I'm not under the law. I can do what I want to do. No, you can't. Grace gives you direction.
Yes, sir.
And you have to follow it. Let's move to, you can be born, this is me. You can be born and reared in Mississippi. Leave running to Chicago. But still find a Damascus Road in Sacramento. Are you listening? You can't outrun God. You will never get away. Church, notice. Again, verse number 10 in the 9th chapter. But by the grace of God, I am what I am.
and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but my friend, but listen, I labored, Paul said now, more abundantly than them all because of the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Paul is literally saying, here that the grace which God had bestowed upon him was not worthless. God's grace, which he received, was not in vain. Amen. On the contrary, that grace changed him. And that grace challenged him to the point that he could say, because of that grace, I labored more abundantly than all of the apostles. Can you say that today? Can't you mention about your grace, what it has done for you? Singing grace is fine, but it's not working grace. A lot of choir members learn a song on Sunday, a first Sunday, and don't practice no more until they have to sing it. But grace will lift it out of you. Grace will take your shame away. Grace will take your laziness away. Grace will take away you being stingy. The young boy gave me a 75 cents. He said, Pastor, this is for your appreciation. I said, is that all you have? He said, yes. I said, well, I can't take it. I said, because I don't want to take all you have. These are his words. He said, but you don't understand. I've been saving this all the year. And so it's for you. Then I took it. Because I don't want to make him miss his blessing. And then he'd been saving it all the year, sacrificing. Now, later on, I'll give him a gift, but I won't mention that. Because of his sacrifice. David sacrificed. And God brought him to the throne. He worked out there in the field with those stinking goats. But when God got through with him, he had a palace and everybody waiting on him. Don't misuse grace. You don't know where it's going to take you. We sing, I like the song a lot. I was weak and weary. I had gone astray. Friends, I went astray. But when I found the answer, grace brought me back. Grace is sufficient. Whatever bothers you, lean on God's grace and watch him work it out. Amen. Watch it. Watch it. The man, three people went to, I told you this before, went to the bank and tried to stop them, get the bank to stop not letting us have a loan. And the man told me and gave me their names. And one of the members said, Pastor, let's go talk. I said, oh, no. You don't want to go talk to them. Let's just pray for them and watch God work. Not only did we get the money, I helped to negotiate how to pay it back. Grace is powerful. And you can let folks dip and dive in your grace and miss your blessings. Amen. Paul says, what I am, what I was, and what I am, what I hope to be, it's all because of the grace of God. Beloved, what moves you and motivates you to do what you do is just a need to succeed, or fearful of falling? Is it because mama pushed you, or daddy threatened you, or it is the grace of God? Amen. One thing what I like about the grace of God, I was once young, and his grace was with me.
I'm getting mature now, and grace is still with me. His grace will never fail because of who he is. Are you trying to prove the naysayer? Are you trying to prove what you can do to somebody else? Well, I tell you, you're wasting your time. If you can just follow God's grace, everything else will come out all right. I'm happy this morning because of the grace of God. Let me tell you this, and I'll be through. I'll finish again later. Jesus went up on the Mount Transfiguration, and he took with him James, Peter, and John with him. Then when he got up there, after he was there for a short while, appeared Moses and Elijah. And then, friends, Peter, James, and John disappeared. Listen carefully. When they disappeared, you left Moses, who represented the law. You left Elijah, who represented the prophets. And all that's wonderful. But listen to what my God said. He said, well, Peter said, well, now it's nice up here. He had gotten away from people. It's nice. He said, Master, Rabbi, let's build 3 tabernacles. He didn't forget himself. And so they said, and when they were discussing the building, God spoke. God said, "Hear, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him." That's grace. Friends, God never runs short. Never. Jesus represented the new covenant. Grace and mercy. Yeah. I tell you, that's why I love my cousin who wrote that song, Your Grace and Mercy. Yes, now, you're not singing. Your grace and mercy did what? Me? I? I'm looking for her. Take it. You take it. Grace and mercy will bring us well. Dear what?
I'm living this moment. Come on, everybody who's breathing. Your grace and mercy.
Where you come?
In this moment, I am
living this moment. you come. Where you come. Where you come today. Where you come today. Oh, yes.